James chapter 2, if you have your Bible, and I pray that you do. And also you can follow along the notes. Remember, we have that page, SeminoleBaptist.info, with all the notes for the message this morning so that you can follow along. But we're going to be reading in James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, and we're going to read through verse 19 this morning. It's a smaller passage than what we've read in the past. But this is what the main idea of the message this morning is going to be. This is that faith in our hearts is evident in the fruit of our lives. Okay, that if we say that I'm a believer, I know Jesus, I'm living for Jesus, we will know that it's not just something that we say, but it's something that other people will see in us. There's evidence that shows that I'm a believer, and we're going to call it fruits this morning. And what this passage is going to do, it's deep. I want you to know, even before we go into that, it's deep and it's true. And there's an opportunity for us this morning to even misunderstand what the scripture says. And I say that to say this, that sometimes what people believe is that my works save me. What I do saves me. The more good I do, then there's no way that God can say, get away from me, I never knew you, but that's not true. I believe with all my heart that what we do, our works, do not lead us to heaven. Rather, they follow us to heaven, okay? The Bible says that evidence, that these deeds, and we're going to get into it, is evidence that God is alive in my life. Not just by the things I say, not just by the things I know, but the things that I do is what James is going to tell us about this morning. These verses, even before we go into it, I want you to know they're going to challenge you. And I pray, as we open up, I'm going to pray that as you are challenged by God this morning, that it does not fall onto a deaf ear, an ear that is turned off to him now, okay? I'm going to pray that God remove every obstacle in this church so that God's word can speak to my heart freely, openly, and as clear as day to us this morning, so that when I'm confronted with that challenge this morning, I know that I need to do something in my heart. And not just something that I'm going to say, I'm going to do it later, but I'm going to do it now, right now. God wants to challenge us now. And so I'm going to pray that God would speak to us clearly at this time. Father, remove from our hearts everything that's tried to stop us this morning. God, I know Satan wants to shut our hearts, shut our minds off right now, Father. But God, we pray that you would cause him to flee from us. God, that you would, God, just use us. God, just that you would speak to us in a way that anything that hinders me at this moment, anything I've been thinking about all week that I just can't get over, Father, everything that hinders us, Father, may we, God, just set those things aside and just focus upon you at this moment, Father. Your name be glorified. Challenge us. Allow us not to be afraid of your challenge, Lord, that it does something in our hearts. Father, I pray that that's what your word will do this morning. It confronts us. And if the things that we're doing don't line up with your word, Father, lead us to repentance. Lead us to follow after you with everything we have, Lord. Do it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So James chapter 2, verse 14 is where we're going to start. But before we get there, we're just going to lay out the sermon. There's only three main points that these scriptures are going to speak to us this morning. And every single one of the points that we're going to talk about, it points back to one big main point for us this morning, okay? Everything points back. All these main points point back to this basic reality, and it's this. Faith without works is dead, okay? It's spoken very loud and very clear in these verses, even in the whole chapter, that faith without works is dead. What does it mean if something is dead? Think about it. Maybe it doesn't exist. Maybe it doesn't save. Maybe it's not useful. Maybe it won't justify us when we stand before a mighty, holy, righteous judge. And so these verses like I said, are a challenge. But I pray that as God confronts us this morning, that we don't want to have a dead faith. Because what these scriptures are going to tell us is that there's only two kinds. There's only two kinds of people. It's those that have faith and those that don't. There's no in between. You either have it or you don't. It's either evident in your life or it's not. That's the only thing God says matters. Is it alive? Is it evident? Or is it dead and does it not exist? It can be tough. There's no in-between for us this morning. And so before let's go ahead and start. We're going to read just one verse. Verse 14 is what we're going to start with. And it introduces us to this very first main point. It's the main idea that we already read earlier. But it's number one this morning is faith in our hearts is evident in the fruit of our lives. Faith in our heart is evident in the fruit of my life. What does that mean? Well, let's read what this verse says. Verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Okay. One more time. Let's read it again. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? And so what the even starting from the very beginning here in verse number 14, James tells us that it's possible for people to believe they have faith, but it not really be there, right? That's what that word plainly says is what good is it? The answer is it's no good. What is it? What good is it for someone to say they got it, but don't show in any way that they have been saved by the grace of a mighty, wonderful, merciful God, and it doesn't show evidence to anyone else in the world? It's possible for us today to believe that I'm saved, and the truth is, if there's no evidence, God's calling us to take a look at our heart. He's calling us to dig down deep in our faith. Is it alive or dead? Do I have it or do I not? What good is it? And so what he's pointing us to is he's saying that deeds or acts or works or the things that we do are faith, are they're fruit of our faith. And I want you to know this morning, that genuine faith produces fruit. Does everybody understand what I'm saying when I say that? Genuine faith produces fruit. Other people will see that God is alive in you. And so if you have no deeds, you don't do anything good for the Lord, James says, there is no faith. And that may sound harsh, might it? It might sound harsh, but I want you to know, what we've learned throughout the book of James is that James always points back to his half-brother Jesus, right? I do that a lot of time. My brother taught me this, right? My brother taught me how to wire up a thing in my motorcycle last week, and I did it, and it's because my brother showed me. But this is what James says. My brother showed me this. This is not something that I'm making up, that Jesus showed this. And this is what he did. He's pointing us back. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 16, he says this. This is Jesus. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you'll recognize them by their fruit. Jesus lays it out pretty plain. That if someone is claiming they know me, can you see it? Is there evidence in the fruit of their lives? The things that they do, is there evidence? And suppose that you're walking down the street and you see a big tree and you see apples hanging from that tree. What do you know? Based on what you see on the outside, you know that inside it's an apple tree, right? An orange tree is not going to grow an apple. An apple tree will produce an apple. And so what Jesus is telling us is that outside is evidence of what's inside. What we show the world is evidence of what God is doing in my life. Is he there? Have I been saved by his grace? And again, Jesus echoes the same thing that James said, is that if there is no fruit in your life, we better just confront that now, and there may not be faith in our life. What are we showing out there to the world? Is there fruit or is there no fruit? And he goes a little bit deeper and further, and this second point, point number two, it may jump out of the page at you. It may be hard to read, but it's exactly what the Bible says. Taken straight from the Word of God, main point number two is this. People who fail to help poverty-stricken fellow believers are in fact not saved. Doesn't that sound harsh just to hear it? It sounds harsh, but I want you to listen to these verses. Listen to the Word of God and tell me that that is exactly what it is saying to us. It's warning us as a believer today. If we confess it with our mouth, we better live it with our life. Listen to what the verse says. Starting in verse 15 of James, it says this. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Now tell me what James is laying out there before us is that if you know somebody is not able at the time to feed themselves or to clothe themselves, how many of us when we pass those people by on the streets says, hey, I've been praying for you. I hope everything is good. I hope you find a good set of clothes. God doesn't move me to do anything. He asked that question again. He asked in the first verse, what good is it? You know what he's implying, right? It's not good. No good. It's useless. It won't save us. And man, I want you to know that's hard to hear it. And we can try to cartwheel around this verse. We can try to tippy toe and act like I didn't hear it, but it's written in the Word of God. That if we see someone that is in need and we don't do nothing, God says, check your heart. He may call us this morning to check our heart and to see if that thing that we're proclaiming, is it real in our lives? And we can try to cartwheel around as if James must be. He's crazy. He don't know what he's talking about, but he's echoing what others before him have said. Listen to what John said. 1 John 3:17, he says this. He says the same thing that James says. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart to his need, how can God's love reside in him? What this verse implies is it says it can't. He's asking a rhetorical question. There's no way that the love of God is in there. If they see a need and they just keep on rolling, keep on moving, as if they're putting their blinders on. God gives us eyes to see. And that's hard to hear. But we can't twist and turn the Word of God to say something that doesn't. It speaks plain, loud and clear to us this morning. And it's a hard word, but it's a true word. James is warning all of us. But there's two little points that I want to make, but along with this bigger point is this, and I don't want us to ever misunderstand that acts of mercy are not means to salvation, okay? Because you do good doesn't mean you're saved. That's the main point. I don't want anyone to get twisted, because what we need to understand this morning is that faith is something that God gives. It's not something that we and ourselves can manufacture. God gives us faith. God gives us mercy. It's nothing that I can give. It's nothing that I can try to earn myself. God gives it. So we don't serve the poor in order to be saved. I pray this morning. That's not what the word does. It makes us feel guilty. Well, I guess I better go find somebody to go help. That's not what the word says. What the word is telling us is rather that point number two, mini point, is acts of mercy are necessary evidence of salvation. That's what we're going to continue to hear this morning, is that the things that we do because of my faith, it shows people that it's real. It's evidence of what God has done in my heart. It's not saving me, but it's what I do because God has shown me his goodness. God has shown me his mercy and his love, so it's an overflow. That's what you can say about acts, about works, about the things that we do. It's an overflow of salvation in my life. James says that deeds are fruit produced by faith in Christ. Because of what he's done, this is what I'm going to do. And I pray that this word this morning, is as hard as it is to hear, that we don't go out and do because I feel guilty. But I go out and do because I feel loved by him. And I'm going to show somebody else that love. He shows me. Somebody that needs it. I want you to know there's people, maybe even on your very streets, maybe even in your own homes, maybe even in this very church this morning. They need love. We walk right out the door and we don't think twice about it. We know somebody's in need, but we don't do anything. What good is it? I'm going to flip to Matthew. Again, Jesus speaking in Matthew. I just want to go through these verses and just kind of, I want you to just remove every distraction you might have this morning. I want you to just hear God's word for what it is, okay? Hear God's word for what it is this morning in Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to start in verse 31. I'm going to pause throughout. But this is what Jesus says, okay? He tells us there's just two kinds, okay? There's two kinds of people. You either got faith or you don't. And this section of verses, he describes them as sheep and goats. Sheep, the righteous, the ones that have faith. Goats, the ones that don't have faith. That's how he describes it here. He starts in verse 31. He says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put his sheep on the right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.'" And I just want to, can you feel that language? Did you hear what he said? Come, those who are blessed by my Father. Can you feel the grace in his words? Can you feel the reminder that God has blessed us? He's chosen us. And so there are only two kinds of people, the sheep and the goats. No in between. I'm going to put the sheep on this side and the goats on this side. And then continue to read verse 35. He says this: "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in." Remember, this is Jesus speaking. "I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that when we help the poverty-stricken, we help those in need, he equates that with helping Christ himself. When you're serving someone in need, Christ says that's like you're serving literally me standing in that person's place. Our desire to serve is the overflow of a disciple's heart. That's what I know he wants me to do. I know that he showed me his love, and I'm going to go and I'm going to tell other people about how good he is to me. And so that's what he says to the sheep, the righteous, those that he's prepared his kingdom for. And then he says this to the other side. Those that have faith and those that don't have faith. He says this in verse number 41. Then he'll say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing. I was a stranger, you didn't invite me in. I needed clothes, you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see a hungry, thirsty, stranger, needing clothes, sick, or in prison, and did not help you? And he replied, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, didn't do it for me. Folks, we can't dance around those scriptures. We can't act like we don't see that in the Bible. Those are the words of Jesus himself. He wants to send a warning to us this morning. Because the very first thing we read is, it is possible for me to say I got faith, but I really don't. I believe that's why Satan, he's been on me this morning. He's been all up in my brain, my mind, because I believe with all my heart, he don't want me to share with you this warning for the church of God. Believe it with all my heart. It's vital that we listen to his word this morning. But again, I want you to know that the acts that we do, the things that we do, they're not what lead us to heaven. They don't save us, but they're necessary evidence of our salvation. And again, I'm just going to echo again to make sure that we understand, that we know that guilt is not what motivates us to go. I'm not going to go today because I'm guilty for what I heard, but I'm going to remind myself of the goodness of God and all that he has blessed me with, all that he has given to me, and it's going to overflow in my life. That's what motivates us. The gospel, that I didn't deserve it, but he freely gave it. I remind myself of that. It reminds me that there's work that I need to do, that he's calling me to go out and do. And I'm going to see the hurting. I'm going to pour into somebody. Do you see the hurting around you? We act like we don't so many times. And he warns us. See him and do something. Make your faith alive. Faith acts. Faith does. Faith will work. Faith will show up and make this proclamation that because Jesus is alive in me, I'm going to do. I'm going to see and I'm going to take action. That's what James is telling us this morning.